Before we get started today, I want to thank all you guys for listening and sharing this with a friend. If you like what you hear and you know someone who is a lover of Italy, like obviously you are, please let them know about the podcast and let them know about us. And we appreciate the word of mouth. All right. You ready?
Mm-hmm. Let's do it.
Heat it up. And welcome. Thank you so much on this primo dicembre.
Yes.
1st of December. Thank you for downloading and joining us for our fireside chat of a podcast. Again, coming to you live and direct, straight from the fire with a big stupid dog at our feet.
Yes, it is. It feels like December 1st. It's a blustery, blustery day. We're talking so more than blustery. I'd say downright windy. It's 22 gusts of right now, 22 kilometers an hour. Whoa. And increasing. Il Meteo on Punto Eat. We've discussed this before, how accurate they are, but it says 35 to 55 gusts.
Wow, hardcore. Whew. It is a beautiful, gusty, like Ashley said, beautifully crappy Sunday morning. My name is Jason, along with my beautiful wife, Ashley, and we operate and own La Tavola Marche, Agriturismo, and Culinary School.
Ciao.
We got a lot to talk to you about. We're going to, as we said last time, we're going to try and start doing this a little bit more consistent. So
yes, now that we have the time in the winter, it's good to do.
All right, start us off. Where are we today?
All right. Well, like you said, 1st of December, we got to take it back. We're battling the winds today. And we have set up the plastic sheeting in the doorway, yet we had to. It is... Oh, high class, because there's gaps under the front door, which Jason has still put down the
strip things,
yeah. But it doesn't seem to matter. And we had to go a step further and put, just before we fired up these mics, we had to hang wool blanket in the doorway.
Yeah,
wool blanket.
It's still so drafty that it is pushing the plastic sheeting into the kit, the quadruple layered plastic sheeting.
You put your hand up to it and you're like, oh my God, get over here.
Into the kitchen. So now that we put a big wool blanket and hung that over the door as well, that seems to be working. So
oh my gosh. Cold air finds its way in.
But let's be honest, it's 10 o'clock and I am not out of sweats and pajamas.
No, but I was going to say today how we're battling the winds. About a week ago, the day before Thanksgiving, you took the dog on a walk into the woods and discovered we had a water problem.
Oh yes. We get our water from a sorgente or a spring in the back, and that tube that runs down to the house had disconnected itself, so it wasn't filling up the big cistern that we have below the house. And we don't know that because it's only two of us now, and the cistern holds
a lot of water.
Obviously more than a week's worth of water for us. So when I was on my walk with the dog, I decided to pop down and check out the spring and the tube, and discovered it was disconnected and it just began to snow. So it was I came back to the house. I was like, all right, Ash, let's go. We fashioned a hook because the tube now has run down the river and gotten bent up and kind of.
Oh, and it just happens. Of course, it's at the spot in the river where there's a mild waterfall and a drop of about 6 or 7 feet to another level. Like it's like two or three levels drop.
Anyway.
And no, meaning it's not a.
No, it's
trickle.
Not just hooking it back up again.
No, because many of people who have listened have been here, and the river is pretty flat in most spots, so we just had to make that and also let's just go a little deeper here. The thing you use to make a hook
that was the old pool pole, the pole for the pool that you would use for like getting stuff out of the pool.
You use what you got.
I got the old one. I put my foot on it and made a little hook on it, and there we go.
So it's snowing. We head into the woods with our new hook, and we bring a stick lighter, like one of those, what'd you call it? A stick lighter?
We blow a blowtorch.
And
because the tubes, one's hard plastic, one's soft plastic, so you have to blowtorch the soft plastic one so the hard plastic one will fit inside of it. This is all very professionally done, mind you.
Oh, for sure.
This thing is so rigged. It's just a bunch of stuff. Like, over the years, whenever I go up to fix this thing, it's never, oh, today I'm going to fix the tube up there, the connection.
It's never on your Saturday project.
Oh! There's no water. I got to run up there. And so bailing.
There's guests, or it's Easter, or it's snowing.
All of our problems always with this house have come from water. Heating it,
always.
Moving it, anything, just water. And yeah, the other day was no exception. So some baling wire and a blowtorch, and it's I think it's fixed forever.
Oh, well, wait, you skipped the meat and potatoes of the story. We couldn't use the hook. Like, the hook didn't work. The tube is rigid and heavy and filled with some water still, and it wasn't working. I was proud of myself. I shimmied down the side of the hill and came down to the river from a low point and worked my way back up the river. And I had to say, F it. And I'm getting in. I'm getting in the water. And climbing up the underside of this little bit of the waterfall. And it was pretty hairy. I felt pretty adventuresome. And I just kept thinking, I might as well freaking get wet now. Because if I don't, we're not going to have any water. So it's like ironic to have to get wet to preserve the water. You know what I mean?
It is the iron dripping with the irony. Anyway, it was definitely not a boring Wednesday.
No, and it was like, you were like, push it, get up here. It was all teamwork, but that's one of the beauties and adventures of living in the countryside.
I like that we've become handy and yeah. That we don't need to call someone to
No,
do that.
It felt good. Dude. Like, it was an adventure. And at first you're just like, oh man, what a freaking drag. It's snowing. We got to go do this. And then, then when we finally get the tube ready to go back together, I had dropped the lighter in the river.
So we can't use the torch to soften the other tube to put it in.
Hysterical.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Good times. Good times. So that's never a dull moment living in the countryside.
Yep. And now we've got the wind. Oh.
For Thanksgiving this year, we just didn't really do anything big. It was just every year. Most years we do a Thanksgiving around the actual date to thank everyone for helping us throughout the year. And this year we decided, because the house is all closed up, we got all the plastic up, we're insulated for the winter.
It's a whole to do.
It's a to do. Listen, I love doing it. I love having the Thanksgiving and thanking everyone for helping us out. But we could do it in the spring.
We're going to. That's what Gaji said.
He's
anyway.
Like, just do it in the spring because it's not.
He knows it's a big deal too.
It is a big deal and it's important that we do. But man, it's a lot of work.
No, I mean by a big deal, I meant it's a lot of work. So it was kind of secretly nice to do Thanksgiving for just the two of us. Well, I didn't do it. Jason did. But enjoy the turkey the night it's made. Normally we have it as leftovers the day after.
Oh, we still have it. Yeah. But I didn't mind having a quieter Thanksgiving.
That's what I mean.
We talked to all our family on Skype the whole day and watched movies, and it was good.
It was good. It was really fun.
Watched football, so.
Yes. Oh, and before that, we had the Beltrami lunch like the day before, 2 days before.
We talked about it in our last podcast about what we were going to Beltrami, the crazy Einstein guy who makes cheese, the pit cheese. So go ahead.
I took some great pictures, by the way. You can find them on Facebook.
I'm going to put more wood on the fire. Hold on.
So we go to the lunch and Marco, the unearthing of the cheese. And we've done this a couple times. And Marco had called us on the way. Oh, make sure we're going to be there. And it was Marco, the wine guy. And we had it had all been really nonchalant. And Jason was like, we're not committed to anything, are we? And I was like, no, it's going for the cheese thing. And the year before it had been like samples.
Yeah,
and
the year before it was
later.
They unearthed the cheese and everyone, they're passing around samples of cheese. You could buy the cheese, of course. And then they just
had
little
wine and beer.
Yeah, they had little crostini. It was just, you kind of like, between everything, you just kind of made a little lunch out of it.
Yeah, and so it was like not a big deal. So I thought, yeah, whatever. We're just kind of running into Marco and some friends there. And sure enough, we get there. We walk around for like 5 minutes. We see Marco immediately. And I see some friends of ours from Almacord, the beer place in Apecchio. And we kind of get ushered upstairs and into this back room. And it was like Vittorio Beltrami was like, come. If you're with Marco, come. And we go up there and we sit down and we realize, oh my God.
We're
at a private lunch and we arrived just in time. So many times Jason will be like, oh, it's Italy, let's show up late. And
we were early.
Like, we weren't late at all. And it was like, we were just on time, as a matter of fact. And it was really nice, but it was absolutely hysterical because we just had no idea.
We never get it right when we're invited to things.
Right.
We never, I don't know if we just don't, if it, we never understand. Like, sometimes people invite us somewhere and it's like, come to do this, and it'll be like this, a whole sit down, very special lunch. And then other times it's just
not even a lunch.
It's just
a
drink. And so I don't know. It's weird. Are we missing something?
My most favorite time we misunderstood was when we first moved here, and the Moretti's invited us to dinner.
Tell this story. We are here literally. We're staying at Fabio, our commercialista's country house, because the Cacimone, where we are now, was totally frozen. The pipes were frozen. You cannot move in.
They didn't even have heat.
There
was no gas.
He's like, come to my friend's house. He's having this was Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
Was it? Or a couple days before Christmas? Whatever.
Whatever. I feel like it was Christmas Eve. It was right there.
Come to my friend's. He's having a dinner party, and there's a place for you to stay.
They have their villa. It's their villa. There's a place for you to stay. It's the Moretti family. We were very honored to be invited, and we show up. First of all, side note, not to get into this story, but we show up like 2 hours late because we follow our GPS down a cow mud road. I know, but just to tie it together. So we arrived super late. We were only able to get our car out of there because we had a change of clothes, since we were told there was room for us to stay.
Ashley and her sister and I packed bags because we thought, we're staying over.
Yeah, there's
night.
Room for us to stay. It's like an hour away from where we were. So we were like, I guess we're spending the night. So we get there finally, and everyone's like, oh, these are who we've all been waiting for, and the Americans. And everyone was really nice. So we thankfully we didn't bring our bags in.
Because they didn't mean stay the night.
They meant there was like a place at the table for us to stay, for us to be. We thought they meant like stay the night. And we wait for everyone else to like leave, and we're just there with Fabio and some other people, the people who own the house. And we're like, so what's going on? Like, and they're like, well, I guess it's time to go. And we looked at Fabio, and he was like, yes, we all go home now. And it was like, oh my God, we totally were about to ask where our room was. Like, we thought we were staying in some huge villa for the night. It was a total disappointment. But from the beginning,
Thank God we never said anything.
Yeah.
And let's just get in our car and get out of here.
It was just so from the beginning, we have never understood invitations.
How about when Rosalba, the woman, when we first moved out here and Rosalba was teaching us.
We talked about that too.
Yeah, we talked about that too.
She said, come over for dinner.
For next week, we would meet every Thursday or whatever it was. And she said, we said we had to go do this thing, whatever it was, and we wouldn't be back till right before the class. And she said, if you're back before, come have dinner at my house. So we said, okay. Well, that day comes along and we're coming back. It's like six or seven in the evening, and we're halfway back home, and we get a phone call. Where are you? We said, well, we're on our way back home. Why? Well, we're having dinner at my house this evening. I've made all this food. These people are here, blah, blah, blah. We felt terrible.
That was horrible.
And she let us know it, too. Yeah.
So we get it wrong.
We get it wrong.
So we got it wrong again. And it was funny because Beltrami also spoke about the Americans at the lunch and wanted to thank us. And we were like, oh, my God.
I hate it. I don't like being called out in a room full of people, especially when I'm shoving bread in my face and everyone turns and looks at me. I threw the bread
on
the ground.
Half drunk.
I had like two or three beers.
Stone floor. But that was hysterical. He turns and looks at us and he's like, and the Americans. And then I was half listening because I was starting to zone out. The guy talks on and on and on. And I was afraid, was he directing the question to us? I felt like a student in class, you know, going, oh my God. But it was a good day. I'm glad we went.
It was really a lot of fun. And it was good to see Marco. And
we all got kind of buzzed on the beer.
Yeah, the beer was strong. And I think it's because we didn't have anything in our stomachs.
True. And we ate a lot of Vinci Grassi.
Yeah, which
is a Marche lasagna.
It's like a very rich lasagna.
It was good. Yeah. It was good. Oh, and then we had the cheese for dessert. The aged cheese from this year and then 2 year aged cheese, which was with a apple ginger jam, which was really nice.
They always do different things like that you would never find really here in the
part. She's really creative with the jams and like the dandelion honey kind of thing, and
even their cheeses, like they put different things on, like they put
the rose petals
and the rose petals, they wrap their their goat's cheese in. It's nice.
It's beautiful.
I wish they were closer so we can get their cheese on. They do a lot of great fresh cheeses, too. I always have their Formaggio di Falsa in the fridge, but their fresh cheeses are great. It's just they're like an hour, a good solid hour away, and they don't deliver. We're a small little place. So it's just hard to get their stuff.
Oh, so what else has been going on?
Oh, my God. Our docs for our... We sent our packets.
Oh, yeah. We said that last week that we had our... Well, that was the work we have to do.
So we got it done. We got our packets together that is the same information every single year for our permesso di soggiorno or our permission to stay, or basically our renewing our green card thing.
Did we do it or did I do it?
What?
The packets.
You did everything for the packets. Would you like to talk about them?
I was sitting there with the dictionary because you just want to make sure, like, you know the words, but you want to double make sure... Because you have to have black pen and all of this, and you just don't. And of course, I made a mistake on mine and had to get a new packet.
Well, go ahead and explain what the whole process is.
You get like you get an envelope from the post office each year to renew your permesso di soggiorno. Also, if you are applying for your carta di soggiorno, and you fill this out.
Several packets.
Yeah. And you have to have a. Like a companion form to read with it to understand what, like an index, what does A, B, and C in these tables mean? And so you constantly have to refer to these things and back and forth and back and forth. And
how much of this information that you're putting on this packet was the exact same information that went on the last packet?
All of it but the taxes for this year.
So really, all they need, do they really need a copy of the same passport?
Why every single page? That one just kills me because so much is done electronically now with travel and everything. I don't know. Why don't they just know where we've gone or who the hell cares?
We get to make a packet, which is about
80 pages.
It's an 80-page packet of documents, all of which, save for, what do you think, 15 pages of it?
Well,
of the copies are the same exact thing of last year.
27 were, yes, all but 27.
Okay. the copy of each page of my passport that is the same
formation
thing as last year.
Of our business. Dude, if we're renewing our passport, our visa, because we have a business, it's the same G-Day business as it was 6 years ago.
Everything. And you mail this huge packet in. It went up this year from 85 euro to 150 something euro.
Uh-huh.
With all the austerity, put it to the screws to the foreigners.
Yeah, which on a side note, by the way, I read there are more births in Italy to foreign parents than to Italians. So they should be a little happier about some of the foreigners, I think.
So you get the packet at the post office, you take it home, you make all your copies of everything, you fill out the all the packets that you have to fill out.
And for some reason you have to write, there's a space where you have to put how many pages are included in this, including the modules that they have included in the packet.
Nice. And then you take it to the post office. This is where the fun this is where the story begins.
Well, for you, yes. Now you chime in. I started it. So Jason drops me off because he's like, all right, I'm going to do the grocery shopping while you do the post office. Because you never know at a post office in Italy how long the lines could be.
And you have to take this packet. The only way to get this packet to turn it in is to take it to the post office. They have to put special stamps and blah, blah, blah.
Why it's done in the post office, I'm not exactly sure. However, it does make it easy. We used to think we had to go to the freaking post office in Pesaro, which is why we hate Pesaro so much. But no, we found out we can go just here to Piobico. So we've done it for the past couple years in Piobico. Easy peasy, no problem. The guy with the ponytail, super awesome, the young guy. Well, this time, one of the other people were working, and I arrived there at about 11:45. This is also the second time I've already been in the post office that day. The first time to go pick up my backup packet because I made a mistake on the first one. I had to go sit at the cafe, have a cappuccino, listen to everyone talk about the impending snow, and fill it all out. So I go back in, plenty of time, because what time does the post office close?
It should close at 1, but he says 12:45.
So at 11:45, I'm in line. It's noon. I get helped. No problem. He sees the packet and he tells me, I don't know. First he says, well, you have all these packets. Where's the other people? And one of them was a garbage packet because it was a mess up. And I said, I'm here. And the other one's for Jason, but he's at the grocery store. Well, he has to be here to do this. First of all, everyone knows us in town. It's not like he could just come in and sign at the very end or something. Like he, why
already,
do you need,
already signed the packet?
Why you need like visual confirmation of Jason? I have no idea.
He absolutely knows me.
He knew our address by heart. Like when he started filling everything out, he didn't ever ask us what's your address. It was hysterical. So, then he says, well, I said, well, why don't you start mine? Jason will be here shortly. And he's like, I don't even know. You should take this to Urbana. And I was like, I'm here. What are you talking about? So then he says that since the price went up, he's not sure which price to charge us because on the payment slip that it comes with, the handy payment slip that it comes with has like three or four choices of payment possibilities. And he was like, I don't know. And I was like, just charge me this one. I think this is it. I'm pretty sure. He was like, but if you do it wrong, then all your paperwork will be sent back and I think you should go to Urbana and do it there. And I was like, I'm here. We're doing it now. Just charge me. Fine. Charge me the more expensive one. Like, what do you think? I don't know. I just don't know. If there was someone you could call, who helped you prepare this packet? I said, I did it myself. He goes, you did it all by yourself. I did it all by myself. Yes. Oh. Well, then I guess there isn't anyone to call. And he would just like look at the papers and then he goes, go next door to the comune, I go ask the guy over there. So when I pop into his, so I said, fine, I'll be right back. Like I didn't want him to try to close on me, which I was getting the feeling he was trying to kick me out of that post office. So I go over to the community office, literally just the next door over from the post office. And I was like, me again, because on a side note, I had already been there to make photocopies because at the tobacco shop where we normally make photocopies, the owner's mother was working. She goes, I think it's broken. I don't know how to use that machine. And I said, well, I think I do. I can use it. No. It's broken. It's definitely broken. My son isn't back until this afternoon. And I was like, I need it now. Oh, no. No one knows how to use that machine but him. I'm sure she thinks it's like a magical copy machine. Go to the comune. So when I walk in there, he goes, I said, she sent me here. I need a few copies. He goes, how many copies? I was like, 20-ish ventine, which is like really I needed closer to 30 some copies. And he was like, fine. Obviously I was interrupting him, which by the way, this community office is awesome because it's just like the one in Sant'Angelo where it's just heaps of record books stacked up everywhere. And it has that musty smell of old papers and old newspapers. And I love it. And just, you know, just just carousels of stamps. So when I come back in there from the post office, he was thinking like, what the hell are you doing back here? And he looks at it and he's like, 1 year, it's good for a year. So I go back and tell him, charge me the year thing. And now it's like, whoa. It's too close to closing.
Now
time.
We're going
to
close soon.
And now I've got Jason with me. I've flagged him down from the cargo and you got to get in here. And the guy's like, it's too close to closing time. I got to close in 45 minutes. I was like, I was almost near tears at this point.
It's like, I'm like, we are here. There's plenty of time to do this. We do it every year here. It's not difficult. Let's go.
So he's like, fine. And then every person who came in behind us, he'd go, no, I'm closed. And this guy was like, man, I just have to pay a bill. I'll just wait till you're done with them. It's not a big deal. You guys don't close till 1 o'clock. He goes, I close my doors at 12:45. It was still like 12:30. The guy was like, yeah, there's plenty of time. I'm sure you'll be done, which he was in time. And so then we start going through the stuff
and he starts making almost like
grunts and like,
well, when he was entering in the first, like he has to, and first of all, it's hysterical. He has to enter in damn near all the information that we just put into these stupid things, which is why even do it?
I don't know.
Anyway, it wouldn't let him go to the next page. And it was almost like he was screwing up on purpose.
Yeah. He'd be like, hands would be flying in the air. And he would just look at us and be like, impossible. Negata. Like, it's just not letting me go. And I was thinking, I can freaking see the screen. It's telling you force the address. Like it's saying force the address through. We live so deep in the country. It doesn't recognize our address. So we're talking about the guy from the post office. Like he knows our address. He knows it exists. Like how come he doesn't know how to force our address?
Anyway, after all that, we get our receipt or our proof that we...
After many stamps. He had stamped the back fold twice or three times. I don't know why.
We get... All it's said and done, it's over 150 euro per person.
Each.
And when it's all said and done, our record or our proof that we have renewed this very important immigration card is nothing but a receipt from the post office.
That's it.
This is what we will carry around until our card arrives, usually between June and August.
They gave us the appointment. They print out the appointment at the Questura, at the closest large police station, which for us, thankfully, is Urbino. So... we're closer. They know us. It's not all the way in Pesaro, which is just a huge hassle.
But we'll go back for an interview. We'll give them...
Mid-December.
They're going to ask for our projected tax returns for 2013.
Well, and technically on the printout, it says, yeah, all this shit you just put in this envelope,
bring another copy
of it with you. You know, all these things that we've requested and now we have, we're going to need it again next week.
And hopefully within 6 to 8 months, our new cards will arrive. They will be valid for the remainder of the year, which will be 4 or 5 months.
Which is why immediately upon getting our card, or, you know, going to this meeting and everything, Jason has already started looking into for our carta di soggiorno, the A... two level Italian language courses.
So we signed up for language courses because you could either go and take this test or you can just pass this language course and it's good. It's equivalent of taking the test.
Or they do it for free in the comune.
They do it for free in the comune.
But it's like hit or miss. It's weird.
Well, I
just want to tell people there's that option.
Oh, yeah. You can take. There's free language courses all over the place. I prefer to take an online course and do it whenever if I feel like studying at, you know, going and doing it at, you know, 10 o'clock at night. It's fine.
The problem is that for us to do it, the freeway would be in Sant'Angelo, which is the back road.
Pain in the butt in the winter.
It's really hairy in the winter. And with the snow and the ice that we get out here, an online course is just a lot better for us.
We end up not going because it's like
totally
crappy outside.
And they're like, to leave the house at 4? Or worse if it's at 7 o'clock at night or something.
Oh, my God.
Please, it's dark. You've got to be kidding me,
So we went, we're starting our course the 6th of December. Mm-hmm. And it'll be done the 22nd or 20-something of February. So I'm excited because I feel like our Italian has definitely went downhill.
I know. We've had so many English-speaking guests and speaking just the two of us. I feel like recently, like you brought it up, I've only really talked to Gaji in Italian. Like, I don't do the grocery shopping or anything, so... It is. This will be really good for us.
It'll be good. It'll be more of a basic course. It'll be a good refresher. And then we'll probably take another one after that and start really improving. I want to really improve our Italian. That's my goal one of them for the new year.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is almost time for Christmas.
It is. Speaking of almost time for Christmas, panettone, pandemonium.
You know it's almost Christmas time, not by Black Friday. Oh, by the way, I love Black Friday in America because I love going to YouTube the next day and looking at all the crazy people fight each other for cheap Chinese-made electronics. It's awesome. But here in Italy, we don't have that. You know it's Christmas because... you see the boxes of panettone coming out.
They start arriving. It begins as a slow trickle at first for some grocery stores. Others, it's immediate.
Like pallets
assault
to the sky. Yeah.
pallets to the sky. And it's all different types. I prefer panettone. Well, are we doing this? Should I get into a whole panettone conversation?
Sure, hit it.
I prefer plain panettone. I just don't like the hard candies.
Panettone is a type of eggy bread that is very very tall and in a circular shape. It almost looks like a chef's hat, and you'll find them around Christmas. Traditionally, could you look up where they're from?
From the north, I think.
They are from the north, in Milan, I think. And traditionally, they have candied fruit or dried fruit, like pieces of dried orange, raisin. They vary widely in quality from super cheap to really artisanal and very expensive.
I love the ones with little chocolate chips.
Ashley likes the crappier, chunkier ones with chocolate instead of the traditional candy
fruit. I do like the ones with just raisins, too.
Yeah.
And what the best way to do it is you put it next to your fireplace or stove.
You put it near the fire and warm it slightly as you're eating dinner. And it's good. It's one of those. It's just like for me, it's like chestnuts, roasted chestnuts. I never had roasted chestnuts growing up. And then here, they're everywhere at this time of year, and you have them a couple of few times, and they're delicious. Same thing with panettone. I can get burned out on panettone.
Yes, and because it's this like fluffy, soft, buttery bread, we make it for Easter. I mean, for Easter, for French toast, and. It's so easy to pull apart when it's warm that you start eating more. You just can't buy it. Like, but everyone starts giving it to you as gifts and pop by and they give you a thing of panettone and you're like, yeah, it's a little panettone. I hated it growing up and now I freaking love it.
Yeah, it's good. We'll get one.
We eat a month's worth. Like, I'll have to look it up again and give the stats of like.
There's more than one panettone. In Italy, they sell more than one ahead of panettone.
Oh, it's like 10 ahead or something ridiculous. Yeah, something
crazy. You'll see it everywhere. I mean, it's everywhere. There's when you go to the butcher, he has a plate. He has a, you know, a, by the register, he'll have panettone cut up and around. The artisanal ones, the handmade ones, can be really expensive.
I'd like to find like a really good fancy one.
What I've heard, well,
remember we tried a really fancy one in Bologna.
It was okay.
Not, yeah, it was like.
From what I've gathered, talking to people, there's the good industrial brands, but when you go and spend 50 or 60 euro for a panettone, it never pays off. It's never as good. It's really hard to make too. Make it
Bauli, B-A-U-L-I is a pretty like trusted.
For the
commercial one.
Yeah, for the commercial brands, mm-hmm. That's not bad. What's the blue one, too? There's a blue box. Shoot. Anyway, that's the sure sign of Christmas. All the lights are going up, the auguri signs. Pretty soon they'll light the on the side of the hill of that overlooks Piobico. They have the nativity scene in lights. And Piobico in lights. It's the Hollywood side of Piobico.
That's awesome.
That'll get lit.
I'm excited.
I am too.
We had snow on Thanksgiving and the day before, so it really felt festive, even though no one else here was like celebrating Thanksgiving. It was the middle of the week, but in my mind, I was like, oh, this is awesome snow on Thanksgiving.
We had 20 chickens. We killed half and we have 8 left. Or a little more than half. And they have been producing eggs over time. I think they got the message. Message heard.
You guys, keep it up.
So they're spitting out. I get 8 eggs a day. And it's just 2 of us. And we had a discussion with Gaji the other day about cholesterol and eggs. And I was like, how many eggs should a normal person eat per week? He's like, 2. I was like, oh, shit. So
I've outdone myself today. Like,
we need to so we started giving Gaji eggs because Carolyn and Luke are out of town. We're watching the dog.
Will you give eggs even to, like, the guy who cuts your hair?
I give eggs to everyone. Well, you know, you turn around, and after 3 or 4 days, you have dozens and dozens of eggs. So Gaji's been giving them out to people. And
he said he's been distributing eggs.
Yes.
To recuperate Cappelletti.
So he's going to give people eggs, and when he comes back through again, he wants Cappelletti out of those eggs.
He's hysterical.
Cappelletti are these little tiny tortellini, basically. Tortellini would be more from Emilia Romagna, and we call them Cappelletti, or little hats.
They're smaller.
And they're smaller, similar shape, filled with meat, and they're very labor-intensive to make. So, and they're always, you always find them around Christmas time, usually.
Yeah, you eat them at Christmas.
And we've been giving him bags
hysterical.
Of eggs. He's great.
I love it.
He goes hunting every day. He's out there today, even in this crappy weather.
And then he comes stomping in and
wants coffee.
Wants coffee, raises a little hell, talks a little shit, and
out the door
out.
Again. calls the dog lazy and
tonto.
Stupid. Yeah. So that's what's going on around in our neck of the woods. It's been great. We're just settling in nicely to the no work.
It is. Settling in, and our waistbands are
expanding. But I made the proclamation tomorrow, 2nd of December, it's back to work. We've had 1 month to relax and recharge work.
And like I said, let out the waistband.
And it's time to get going and start planning for next year and doing all that stuff starting tomorrow.
Right back at you.
So really, I like structure. We're much better when we're structured.
You say everything starts on a Monday.
It does start on a Monday. And I need to know All right. In the morning, we're doing this. Not, we're going to, you know, whatever. Because then I'll end up.
I know. Like today was like, are we doing work? Or since it's so blustery, are we staying in sweats and watching movies and making podcasts and having popcorn? And I always go for the popcorn.
And so it is. So we are going to get to the next section of our podcast, the question and answer. You guys send in questions. And if we think they're funny or interesting or we want to talk about them, we'll answer them on our little podcast. And today yes. we have a couple.
And with that, I want to give a shout out to Linda in Pacifica, California. Nice little 1st of December shout out. All right. This comes from...
That was a terrible segue.
I don't know. I wasn't looking for a segue. I was looking for a shout out. Now we have a question from Courtney in Jersey. She
Jersey, New Jersey or
New Jersey?
Jersey. Like Jersey is in UK? Oh, New Jersey.
New Jersey, okay. As in she commutes to Brooklyn and listens to the podcast on the subway. I like that. The ins and outs of packing and moving to another country. So, what were the ins and outs of packing and moving to another country? How did you prepare both mentally and packing things and paperwork?
Oh, right. Well, the best thing I could, since I did this whole thing, I will talk about it. It's very, it's kind of confusing. You go to, you type into Google, like there's these companies that are consolidators that'll set everything up for you. There's a lot of hidden fees. There's a lot of coding words for different things. Someone will quote you a really low price, but then it's the tax and the port fee on the other side isn't paid. So when your stuff comes, they'll be like, oh, well, we need X amount of money to release it to you. So really do your homework and really, really read a lot up about them. If the price seems too good to be true, it probably is. There's going to be a lot of stuff on the other side. What else?
It takes a long time.
It takes a while. Hopefully, if you're moving overseas, your company is taking care of all of this. Which
if
means-
that's the case, I remember calling a friend of ours and I was like, oh, she recently moved to Switzerland. She'll know how we can move all of our stuff. And she was like, honey, my company moved me here and they paid for everything. And it was like, oh, man, that's the do it because this ain't cheap.
It's not cheap. So you can rent whole containers. You can rent a 40-foot whole container. You can rent a 20-foot whole container. You can get a partial container. Sometimes they do it by weight. Sometimes they do it by volume. For us, it was easier to do it by volume. So we knew, all right, we have 8 feet by, you know, 6 feet by 8 feet or whatever it was. And we, you know, the dimensions of all your boxes. And then you know how many boxes you can fit in. My suggestion would be to do – we set it up in our living room. We measured it out and put all the boxes together because if it's too big, they're going to hit you with all these fees. And the day the guy comes, they'll pack it for you if you want. But I don't trust no one to do all that for this big of a pack.
No, no.
So we did all the packing. We numbered the boxes. You have to have a manifest everything inside each box.
So box number one relate to, you know, we had – everything.
Box one has XXX. Manifests of everything. And then when they come and take it, they load it all up. They pack it into the container if you got a whole container or however it is. And we'll see you in 6 to 8 weeks.
You would also like to quiz me and say, what's in that box? Is that box worth $55?
Well, we figured it out.
Wasn't it something like that?
However many boxes we could, you know, we went and bought. I wanted, you know, you can go to the grocery store and get their used boxes, but then it's a disaster because to size it all up, it was a huge penalty if we went over the size or whatever, over the size that we had. So we bought new boxes and it was worth the money.
That and liquor store boxes.
We did have some liquor store because all the wine cases are, you know, they're the same size wine boxes for books. So we figured it out. We have, this is how much it's costing. This is how many boxes we're going to have. Each box was $55. Either we need to put $55 worth of sentimental value in there or $55 worth of stuff that's worth it. Otherwise, get rid of it.
It hits the bricks. It's going to the stoop sale.
It's going to the stoop sale. So for us, mainly we brought clothes, books,
Nothing electronic
because we were changing and to the 220
and the things
volts.
That we brought electronic thinking we'll use an adapter fried
immediately. So you go ahead and buy the adapter for your Cuisinart. I fried most of my American electronics, just
the
buy
Bose speakers.
Yeah, both speakers we plugged in.
That was the saddest. That was like the saddest moment. We were like cleaning, and I totally remember. It was like, all right, woo, let's go. We got a lot of work to do today. We're going to be cleaning and scrubbing the walls in this room, plugging in the Bose, and it was like, psh, it just like smoke came out.
Yeah, we smelled it. So, when you're planning to move, do your research. Get go online. There's
what did you Google?
You just shipping companies.
We lived in New York, so if you live on the coast,
yeah, it's a lot easier. We live in New York City, so they're shipping it out of Elizabeth, New Jersey, which is not far at all. If you live in the middle of nowhere, it's gonna be more expensive.
Trucking fees first.
Yeah, a moving company's gonna have to move it to one of the big ports. Which is a bummer, especially if you live thousands of miles away from a big port.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, do your homework and just remember, is it really worth it? You're not moving. If you're moving to Italy or Europe, it's not the third world.
Is there anything you wish we had brought?
No.
I know that like at times at first when we moved, I wish we had brought our bed because it would have been nice to have like a big, huge American bed. But we made that decision. If we did that, we'd always have to buy sheets from the States.
Yeah. So yeah, that's an excellent point. Sheet dimensions are different here. Paper, like for
the printer
and stuff. If you go to buy paper in Europe, it's not 8.5 by 11 like it is in North America. It's slightly different. So that might throw off your printer type thing.
And in fact, it's sometimes hard to get the right ink cartridges for like some of those printers too.
Most electronics, though, like computers, doesn't matter the voltage when you plug it in, but things like kitchen appliances. And, yeah, do your homework and be organized. That's it. That's the long version of that.
All right. What about mentally?
I don't know what you mean.
Like preparing to move, the ins and outs of packing and moving to an... How did you prepare? She's saying mentally. So I would say, like... How I would interpret that is mentally, I hope this stuff comes and it's going to take 6 months till I see any of this again.
Six weeks.
And we had to pack a small bag to get us for not a small bag, but like a suitcase for that amount of time.
And we did it over a couple of weeks. We did it over like we turned our living room into our packing zone and just started packing up boxes and piling them in.
No, that's true. Mentally, how do you start a project like that? That's true.
We cleaned out one room and we measured out the measurements that we had to fill. And then we started stacking boxes to make sure it fit inside of that. And then
and as you're going through the boxes too, you're like, do I need this? Have I used it? You know, all of that stuff. When was the last time I touched it? Get rid of it if it's not. And like Jason said, it's not the third world. You'll find things here for sure.
Yeah. I mean, do we really need, you know, books? We took a lot of books, but I don't know. Towels.
Yeah. I don't know. Weird
stuff.
Do you
need six boxes of towels? Come on. Let's because it's expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Next question.
The next question is kind of an adaptation of a question of looking for... tips for, did we know what we were doing when we were looking for an agriturismo and essentially what would be the tips for looking for an agriturismo? But I like how you kind of interpreted it more for a rural house.
We had no idea what we were doing when we came out here. We were just dumb luck that we found this place.
We almost got a mill that now that I think about it would have been in the dark, in the swampiness. Like it would have been horrible. So we got lucky. So now we know what to look for.
Three things to look for. If you were the three top things to look for, Ashley, number one.
Well,
for a rural home.
Yeah, there we go. When searching for a rural home in Italy.
In Italy.
You got to have a road. You want to make sure that there's a way to get there. That's something my dad always said. He's kind of lived off the grid a bit in Washington State. And he's always said, you know, he likes the idea of alternate energy and sustainability, but he's like, you do not want to get into road building. So you want to make sure that there's a road and that the house is hooked up.
Sewer,
electricity, even freaking phone. Like, it has taken us 6 years. We've lived here for 6 years. We still don't have a phone line. We only have cell phone,
which has gotten better.
And now with more satellites and things like that, that it's possible to have any sort of communication. But you forget that something like putting in phone lines could be 6 miles away.
If there's no electricity hooked up to it, that could be years, literally years. All right.
Okay. So number two, we already talked about this at the beginning of the podcast.
What?
Water.
Oh, water. Huge for a rural house. Where's your water coming from? Is it coming from the comune, like the city water or community water? Do you have a well? is the well ever gone dry? Where is the well? What's the water quality of the well? Lots of things.
How much is it? Like, you and Luke were just talking about that.
Oh, to drill a well?
No, to bring water from the city. Like, remember you guys, he was just saying, like, how much, if you're going to have a garden, like.
Are you, how are you going to irrigate, you know, your landscaping if you're going to have that? Do you live near a water source, like a spring or a river or something? That's huge. Because if you have to pull water from the wherever the main water line is, you can talk kilometers.
Yeah. And why it's slightly not an ironic thought, but so many people love the idea of a hilltop house in Italy. And you think of how it's perched on one of those sweet rolling hills. And now I think, how the hell do you get water here? Where is it coming from? Like, where we are, we're in the mountains and we're tucked away. So there's a river behind the house and one in front of the house. And it's trickling down off the mountains and rivers and or the rocks and everything. I mean, and it's being clean. Like, where is this water coming from if you live on one of these quintessential little hilltops?
You have a well at the bottom of the hill and you pump it back up.
Yeah.
It's a big water plant.
Yeah.
So that's a huge, that's another big thing.
It is. And water. That one, we just knew to ask about it. Like, I remember Jason asking, and I remember at this place, especially Fushiani, making a big deal about it, but we did not understand the severity of it. And now, like,
made a big deal that there was sulfur water. There will always be water here. Even if there's a drought, there's this underground river of sulfuric water, which in a pinch you will always, always have.
Yeah. Which is huge. And we just did not get the, severity of that. And what it meant to have to go, like we talked about at the beginning of the podcast, put tubes together and things like that. Like,
how we would never have a garden if we were on city water.
No.
Water here can be very, very expensive if you're buying it from the municipality. It can be really expensive.
And number three, the thing that you have discovered is one of the most important things.
Positioning of the house versus the...
to the sun.
To the sun. If you have a northern face, if you don't have a nice southern facing house with a nice southern view, it's going to be cold in the winter because you're not going to get any sunlight. You want a nice, we look to
this is a big deal. And
this could be a deal breaker.
Yeah. Not only a
You'll
deal breaker
freeze.
Could be one of the major reasons that you don't understand why a house is so cheap.
Or still there. If
That's
you're
what
looking
I mean.
At it and it's like, whoa, check this thing out. I don't understand.
Exactly.
Blah, 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 blah.
This
break
house
out,
looks great.
Break
it's
out
gorgeous.
A compass. Everyone has a smartphone. Put a compass application on your thing and stand. Where is the sun going to go? And just remember, if you're looking at it in the summer and it's going right over your head, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to get sun in the winter, right? If you're nestled in, like the first place we were going to look at, we were going to get before we moved in, before we found this, was a mill that was nestled at the in a little tiny, like almost like a canyony bog, like really low. And we didn't realize in the winter you would never see the sun.
You wouldn't.
You would just, it'd be dark all, it'd be dark and shadowy all
Even
day
here.
Long.
It comes straight across the side of the sky
and
at by 4:30, we're done. It's booyah.
It's behind the hills. So keep that in mind, take a little compass with you and where is the sun going to go? And then if you find, you know, east and west and then picture it going just across the horizon, do you have big hills in front of you? Where do you think if you're going to have a little garden, where are you going to put the garden? What kind of sunlight is that going to get? Those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
Sun's a huge thing. It's what makes these stone houses warm up in the wintertime. Just the sun beating on them.
Yep. Well, I think those are three really great, strong tips. Thanks, Jason.
Thanks, Ashley.
Oh, I wanted to talk about some food.
All right, but it's been 50 minutes, so...
It has?
Yes, so make it quick.
I wanted to talk about bakla versus stocafiso, because I'm hooked.
Okay. So now that December's coming along, and it's just the two of coming around, and it's just the two of us, I cook a lot more fish, because I don't really get to cook a lot of fish when we have people. We're in the mountains, fish isn't plenty, you know. I just don't.
Yeah, and it's hard when you don't know how many people you're serving, 22.
Blah, blah, blah. So in this time of year, I like to get fish, and I'll do it twice a week. And I've been doing salt cod, which is bacala. And there's many, many cultures. All of Europe basically eats salted cod. It goes back, you know,
forever, right?
And what you do with this is you can either buy it already reconstituted or you can buy it salted. And you have to then rinse it in water over several days or over at least a couple days. And then you could do a million different things with it, from making croquettes to broiling to just roasting it to putting
it
in the pan.
Potatoes one I like.
The two that I do is with bread, both of them in the oven. Little seasoned breadcrumbs and a couple of cherry tomatoes, frozen cherry tomatoes from my freezer from my garden, and just roasted it off.
I take
paper thin slices of potato, lay it over the top of the fish with olive oil and a little sprinkle of white wine and some herbs, and bake it off, and the potatoes get crunchy.
Really good. And so, but isn't
the Spanish do it? The Portuguese do it.
We had it raw.
Yeah, we had it raw when we were in Barcelona.
What is the deal though with the salt? So, how do you know how much salt to use when you're cooking it?
Well, it's salted, and you rinse it and wash it and change the water over several days to get as much of the salt out as you can. Normally, I do not salt the fish at all when I cook with it.
Okay.
Because it's still going to be a little salty. If you don't get enough of the salt out, you'll know it.
And what's stocafiso?
Stocafiso is dried cod. They lay it out in the sun and dry it, and that you reconstitute in water. Stocafiso is usually you find whole fishes usually.
And it's more, isn't it?
It costs more usually. That's because it weighs much less because it's dried and not salted. The salted one still has moisture in it. The stocafiso, the dried cod, is like a baton, like it's stiff.
Mm-hmm. It looks like the Flintstones or something.
Yeah, both of them are delicious. The stocafiso, you need even more time.
And this is something a lot of Italians eat around Christmas time.
Well, they just eat it around this. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think wintery time. You can buy already washed and ready to go bacala in the grocery store and in the fish market, and you'll start to see stocafiso coming up pretty soon.
I love it.
It's a couple hundred euro a kilo, so it's really the stocafiso is really it is expensive.
Whoa! So stocafiso is a couple hundred euro a kilo. Bacala,
20.
Oh, big price diff.
Yes, huge price difference. But you remember, stocafiso is dried. It weighs hardly anything, so it has to cost more.
One time we should do a podcast where we pull up the prices of things like on Eataly and compare it to what it is here.
That's a great idea. Let's do that next time. We will like Whole Foods and Eataly.
Uh-huh, and just go, okay, what is the current market price in Piobico?
That's a great idea. That's a good idea.
Well, okay. I don't know. I think I'm ready to wrap it up.
Bring us home.
You bring us home.
All right. Well, you can reach us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Vimeo, YouTube. Or Google. All you have to do is look for latavolamarche.com, and that's latavolamarche.com. Thank you very much. If you've enjoyed what you hear, tell a friend.
Oh, I forgot the music.
That's right.
We got to play out with a song. So in the vein of what we talked about last week of trying to do a song of the week, this week will be, oh my gosh, I lost it. Where'd it go? It's, I can never pronounce the guy's last name. Fred.
Berlusconi? No,
Okay, one second. It is Buonasera is the name of the song by Fred Buscaglione. Okay. And it's a fun one. So let it play and enjoy the day.
Thank you very much for listening. Have a great one. And we'll hopefully do another one next week.
Ciao.
Buonasera, signorina. Buonasera. Com'è bello stare a Napoli e sognare, mentre in cielo sembra dire buonasera, la vecchia luna che sul Mediterraneo appare. Ogni giorno ci incontriamo camminando, dove pare che la montagna scenda in mare. Quante cose abbiamo detto sospirando,
in quell'angolo più bello del mondo. Quante volte ho sussurrato amore e t'amo. Buonasera, signorina, kiss me good night. Buonasera, signorina, kiss me good night. Batturu, adotte di tavolo di tenuto da putivi. Buonasera, signorina, buonasera. Come bello stare a Napoli e sognare. Mentre il cielo sembra dire buonasera, la vecchia luna che sul Mediterraneo appare. Ogni giorno ci incontriamo camminando, dove par che la montagna scenda in mare. Quante cose abbiamo detto sospirando, in quell'angolo più bello del mondo. Quante volte ho sussurrato amore stavo. Buonasera, signorina, che sbagliate, va, sospirando in quell'angolo più bello del mondo. Quante volte ho sussurrato amore d'amo. Buonasera, signorina, kiss me good night. Buonasera, signorina, kiss me good night. Buonasera, signorina, kiss me good night.